I got lazy. We got music now, and I'm like, let's just fucking play music. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Whatever a Show, episode
15.
15.
15. You know, it's old enough that you can look at it and kind of get aroused, but not old enough you can do anything about it.
Yeah. And I'm going to have to go and edit your show notes so that your links actually work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. All right, so we got a lot more stuff to talk about than I thought we were going to today.
Yeah, we have a veritable cornucopia covering all sorts of things. So we're going to talk about Xena the Warrior Princess. Yep, I actually said that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Goonies. We're going to talk about Patrick Stewart, Haley Atwell wanting to play the Doctor. We're going to talk about Smallville a little bit. We are across
He-Man.
The board. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Yeah, X-Files. I'm not sure we could get more coverage of random stuff.
Yeah, we got a ton of shit. First thing we're talking about, though, is a little bit of technology. I actually was not aware of this, and I don't know that they dropped today, but they, like, very recently, like, within the last week, Intel has released their new Core i5 and i7 Skylake processors, which I'm really excited about because I like building things, and I want to build one now.
Yep. Unlocked out of the box, which is cool for you overclocking fans, which...
It is, and they know you're going to overclock it, so they don't even bother shipping it with a shitty stock fan. Like, you got to supply your own cooling.
Yeah, get a real cooler by default.
So the i5 is actually very reasonably priced at $249.99 for a 3.5 gigahertz quad-core processor.
Yep, I think that's about what I paid for my i5, but that's the old, I want to say it's even pre-Haswell.
Ivy Bridge?
Ivy Bridge, yeah. I think it's an Ivy Bridge. It was the... God, I'm going to fuck this up because it's been so long since I've even looked at it, but I think it was the 2400 series.
You might be talking about Sandy Bridge, even.
Yeah, it's 3.1. Anyway, that's about what I paid for that, and that was a middle-road processor of its day, so that's a very competitive price, I think.
So anybody that's listening to this that is familiar with system building, currently you know that the last... I don't want to say last, but some of the more popular consumer i5 and i7 processors that Intel released were the Devil's Canyon i5 and i7 based on the Haswell chipset. And from what it looks like, this i5 Skylake processor is super similar. It's a smaller socket. Presumably it looks slightly smaller anyway. And not much difference. It's got the same 6 megs cache that the Devil's Canyon i5 had. The biggest difference, though, is that this processor is actually supporting both DDR3 and DDR4 RAM. So not many boards out there right now that are the DDR3 style, but I think that's because RAM prices took a shit when they released these two, and the DDR4, like, there's no reason to buy one that supports DDR3 unless you have a stockpile of unused DDR3 somewhere that you're trying to utilize. Otherwise, it's just as cheap just to buy the DDR4 RAM now. So yeah. DDR4 is twice as fast as DDR3, so if you have the option, do it.
Definitely. Another quick note, we're going to throw in links to the Core i5 and probably a couple of other similar things. I don't know, maybe at some point we'll spec out a build, but at least the Core i5 link is going to go in the show notes in case you're thinking of buying a new Core i5 with DDR4 support. No, Intel is not sponsoring us, but we are using the Amazon affiliate program. So if you want to help out the show and you are already going to spend money, it costs you no more to spend it by clicking one of our links, and then we get some money too.
Yeah, currently priced on Amazon at $249.99 with free shipping. If you use our link, it's not going to cost you anything extra, but they are going to give us a little bit of cash.
Yeah, you know, and Christmas is coming up soon. Ladies like a nice shiny new processor for Christmas, so gentlemen, think about that.
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
All right, so
that's our tech news for the week. Unless you had anything more to add, we will because I like doing this anyway. So for fun, before we post the show, I'm going to spec out a couple pieces of equipment with some RAM and some motherboards and such. So cool. We'll throw links to all those things up on the show notes.
Next up, we have some Lego Batman Joker casting news, and I was actually very surprised to see this.
Yeah.
So, what I'm surprised to see is Zach Galifianakis,
with a job? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Are we between two friends right now? Zach Galifianakis is actually in talks to play the Joker. That's right. The Joker. How do we feel about that?
Meh. You know, I'm gonna have a hard time with anybody voicing the Joker that isn't Mark Hamill.
Correct.
And
yes.
With the upcoming feature length The Killing Joke animated Batman movie with Mark Hamill as the Joker, I don't think Galifianakis is gonna do a bad job, but I don't think he's also gonna be particularly great either. And he's gonna get overshadowed by
Yeah, I want to be wrong, but I kind of agree. Like, first off, he could be very good, but it's kind of hard because Mark Hamill simply is the Joker in my mind. Like, yeah. Especially when it comes to any of the animated stuff. Like, it doesn't take me out of the movie necessarily when he's not there. It just makes the movie so much better, or you know, the show or whatever it is that we're looking at animated Joker in. It just makes it so much better for me when it's Mark Hamill's voice coming through. So,
yeah, totally.
But actually, I was kind of surprised at this because we've had some sort of interesting choices for the Joker in the past with voice acting, but this is one that, you know, completely came left field for me. So
no, like I said, it wasn't altogether unexpected that mm-hmm. something like this would happen because they're not making Hangover movies anymore, and
yeah.
I don't know. I don't see this happening, and I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy or anything like that. I just don't think he's going to get the attention that that role probably is going to deserve. And yes, I realize I'm talking about an animated Lego movie.
yeah, no, it's serious.
Well, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, it probably means something to you. That's all I'm saying. So
this is like a nice crossover of the things that I enjoy and the things that the kids enjoy, especially because the Lego Batman stuff in the Lego movie I thought was really funny, and there was definitely a touch there was a few nods to, you know, nerds a little bit there. Nothing, you know, ridiculously covert or anything like that. Like, it's not like you have to have read the last 400 issues to get the jokes, but
right,
it definitely shows that they cared a little bit about what they were doing. So yeah, it could be cool.
Yeah, let's talk about some more interesting DC news,
shall we?
Yeah.
This one, I don't even know is where I'm going with this.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah. So where he's going with this, we have a link from the Nerdist. Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. Michael Shannon, as in Zod from Man of Steel, who is presumably very dead because he had his neck broken in the original one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spoilers. Oops. Is coming back. For something.
Like, has come back, is filming, has filmed, like, yeah. shot scenes and shit, and basically what he's talking about is he can't open doors on set because his hands are in some kind of weird flipper apparatus.
Yeah, so the article talks about it. There's no confirmed casting, we don't know what he's coming to play, but yeah, it's basically a story of him to saying, you know, he couldn't get out of these stupid flipper hand thingies. So, you know, that could be anything. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean I think he's going to be, like, Aquaman's, you know, nemesis in this movie or something like that. You know, it could be some weird piece of Kryptonian tech and a flashback or something, for all we know. But it definitely sounds odd. Sounds odd.
Yeah. I honestly hope they use some kind of Kryptonian, like, robot body with a Zod head or something like that. Because it... Kryptonians are fucked up anyway, and they always did weird shit like that, so...
Yeah, and actually, that was one of the things... this gets, I think, equal part criticism, but one of the things I really liked about Man of Steel was that we get to see some of Krypton and some of that whole aspect of Superman.
I really liked that. I think it was kind of like... I mean, I didn't know that Krypton was almost like Pandora from Avatar when I watched it the first time, but,
yeah.
You know.
Well, the CG parts were... Or, I don't know, the animal creature thing...
I didn't have a problem with them using the creatures and shit like that. Like, I'm just... It almost kind of seemed like Jor-El was going to tether his ponytail into a... into a weird flying creature's ponytail and go for it. But no, I actually did really like the fact that we got to see Kryptonder in Man of Steel. And I'm not, as much as I joke about it now, oh, you son of a bitch.
Windows needs to shut its whore mouth. We're sorry, everybody. But we bring you this breaking news. Right? Yeah, we hope so.
Okay.
There is a Java update available. That's right, folks. A Java update is available.
Yeah. Yeah. That's important to my kids because they play Minecraft. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good thing that
I really liked that aspect of seeing Krypton, because that usually gets no, or I shouldn't say usually, because the comic books have shown a variety of levels of attention to Krypton, but certainly in the cinematic universe, there's been nothing essentially. So
did you ever read the Death of Superman and then the following Reign of Superman?
I just finished Death of Superman. Just finished in there. I haven't gone any further than that so far, so no.
So one of the key players in the Reign of Superman storyline that followed that, when Superman was still presumably dead, and there was other, like, there was Superboy, and there was Steel, and there was the cyborg Superman. The other one was the Eradicator, and the Eradicator is essentially a Kryptonian construct that was made to look like Superman. So it's not unreasonable to think that there could be a Kryptonian construct that's made to look like Zod with flipper hands.
Yeah.
You never know.
I could just imagine him getting out of the little, like, cloning booth or whatever the hell it is. Why the fuck do I have flipper hands? We thought it'd look cool.
No, I think it's in some kind of crazy Kryptonian like layer that's under the sea, and I think he shoots out and then breaches the top of the water and goes and then dives back down. We're hoping. I mean, that's what I want to see.
Yeah, then he pops his head out of the water. Remember, everybody, save the nations, or save the oceans.
Only buy dolphin-free tuna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. So
that's the Dawn of Justice news for this week.
Yeah. A little bit more DC stuff. Supergirl could have been a CW series. So this isn't actually, there's two links in the show. There's one that you posted, talking about how they could have gone to the CW, and then another one actually with a little bit of a different, spin on this, same bit of news, I think, which is, the president, I think, of the CW, the CW president was talking about DC spinoff rumors and stuff like that, and basically quashed the whole idea that they were going to do any more DC spinoffs for the foreseeable future, or at least there's nothing in the pipe right now, I should say.
He seems super cautious about doing things. The Supergirl idea was actually pitched before The Flash premiered. It was already in the works at that point, but it hadn't premiered yet.
Right.
And Legends of Tomorrow wasn't even coming anybody's balls yet at that point. So, sorry, that was a little bit, a little bit more blue than I usually do things, but you know, whatever.
Well, we do have the NSFW tag on this show, so...
So they did pitch Supergirl to CW, and CW had said, hey, we'd love to do it, we just don't know that we have an audience for that kind of thing yet.
Yeah.
And it turns out they probably did, but...
Yeah, and that's kind of the sense I got from this was, there's an audience for this, there's a big audience for this, and we kind of fucked up a little bit. Like, that was the take that I got on it, which was that he was a little bit remorseful for having passed on Supergirl.
I don't want to leave Supergirl quite yet, but did we talk last week about Constantine? I mean, I know we mentioned that he was going to be doing a cameo, but I think since then, one of the producers for Arrow has come out and said that he's only going to be in that one.
I don't remember episode. If we talked about that, but that did cross my memory banks just now. So I'm pretty sure that I was at least aware of it. So weren't aware of it, Constantine is going to, as in Constantine from the NBC take on Constantine, is going to appear in Arrow. And I think that we were looking for, probably fans of the Constantine show, which I wasn't. I haven't seen any of it.
I didn't watch it at all.
Yeah, which is probably why there's no more Constantine on NBC. But anyway... fans, I think, were hoping to see that the CW was going to pick up the series if that show, that episode, or, you know, that series of things did well.
Yeah, when they first canceled it, there was a campaign to get it moved to a different network, and the CW was obviously a prime candidate because they already did have Arrow and The Flash. And Stephen Amell even said, hey, if somebody picks the show up, I will guest spot on it.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing. And so I think when it was announced that he was actually going to appear on Arrow, there was fans that were looking forward to maybe seeing him a little bit more often. And the producer has said, no, it's not going to happen. It's going to be a one-time thing. And the way that they're using Constantine is actually kind of cool, because the article actually kind of goes in depth and talks about how Thea, when she went into the Lazarus Pit, wasn't all the way dead. And so the Lazarus Pit was able to bring her back with some minor, you know,
craziness for a few minutes.
For a little bit. Seems like that kind of cleared itself up within an episode, but
yeah, I was like, no, Lazarus Pit makes you crazy for like, I don't know, an hour and a half.
But Sarah Lance is like dead.
Yeah.
And so instead of using just the Lazarus Pit to do that, they're actually using Constantine to bring her back. And that's kind of his role in the show.
Oh, that's cool. So this is going to lead into Legends of Tomorrow.
I don't think that I am going to accept that we're only going to see him in one episode as a final answer, though. I think that given the right reaction and things like that, we could end up seeing him either recur on Arrow or Legends of Tomorrow multiple times.
Absolutely. I think that's true, too. Like when we said there's no plans right now for a new DC spinoff, I think that means there's just nothing in the pipe right now. But you know what? That actually kills for me. That kills the secret hope in my life that I was going to have a Green Lantern show of some sort. Because I think that's, you know, we're getting a lot of hints towards Green Lantern, and that may be just fan service at this point in the Flash and Arrow universe.
But I'm not willing to say that I don't think that's going to happen at all. I think the way that the CW is looking at this is probably actually the smart way, and that they're saying, look, we have this superhero show, people like it. We have this superhero show, people like it even more. We're going to continue running both of them. Now we're going to introduce Legends of Tomorrow. Let's wait for people to like this one before we really make plans to do something else. And that's it's smart business, I think. I don't think you want to be like, unless there's a market for it, you don't want to be like, hey, we're the superhero network.
Yeah, I think he kind of, and the one of the articles on there, the president sort of says the same type of thing.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, we can't be nine hours of original programming and it's all superheroes for us. So,
well, 10. I mean, I'm telling you right now, CW can be, and I would watch it.
Yeah. this is what's kind of crazy to me, though, that there's clearly an audience for this type of show. So it is almost insane to me that we don't get more of it. I know budgeting is probably the hardest thing to do, especially with something like Green Lantern.
Yeah.
I could easily see that turning into a big budget show with constructs and all the shit that GL does. But it just seems to me like comics are so much better suited for the serialized format of TV than they are for movies. You know, the only thing that suits them, I think, for movies is that the movies can bring the budgets and you can get the cool effects and neat fights and shit like that.
Yeah. But I mean, the overall like serial format, like you're mentioning, TV's built for that.
Exactly.
I mean, before we had TV, we had serial westerns and serial murder mysteries and things like that on the radio because it was, I mean, people listened every week to find out what happened to the Lone Ranger or the Green Hornet or what have you. So
see if they had to drink more Ovaltine.
Right. With their secret decoder ring.
Yeah. That is a reference.
We'll give you a shout out on the show next week if you can tell us where that came from.
Nah, we'll mock you mercilessly if you can't. Bastards, go watch the movie.
All right.
Okay, so
do we have any more DC shit?
I think we're done with DC.
All right. You want to go to Camp Crystal Lake with me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to stay there for very long.
Should be all right as long as we don't fuck, right? Like, those are the only people that get killed in those movies.
But I'm serious this time. We're not having sex. I've never got to say that before.
So, right. yeah, I can see that's a battle you have to fight a lot. Yeah. No. So Friday the 13th is coming to the CW.
Yep, because I don't know. Maybe the CW doesn't want to be the superhero show, but they're certainly not intent on having their own IP. That seems to be the thing for me.
Yeah, no. I don't know that there's really much to talk about this. They're doing a series with Friday the 13th. I don't know
It's interesting.
How viable is it? Yeah. Didn't they do a Friday the 13th series, like, back in the day?
You know, I don't know if they ever did a series. I could kind of see this spun in a certain way, because the CW has already done... you know, like, they do their vampire shows, like the Vampire Diaries, and there's another spinoff of that. And so I think we're going to see something a little bit more along those lines, or maybe like a American Horror Story. Ashley watches that, and I could see it turning into something like that. Something not specifically about Jason, you know, and that whole thing, but something just about, you know, creepy, terrifying crap.
I think it's important that you mentioned Buffy the Vampire Slayer if you're going to talk about vampire.
Oh, yeah, you got a good point there.
It did originally debut on UPN, but it...
But Buffy's kind of in a different category for me. I mean, it's definitely a vampire show, but it's not...
So good.
Yeah, it is.
Says the 37-year-old man.
Yeah, but it's not... Buffy's sort of lighthearted, especially, you know...
No, it is.
What I think...
Isn't the Vampire Diaries too, though?
No, I think it takes itself reasonably seriously.
Like, that's too bad.
Not ridiculously seriously. Like, True Blood 2 was a show that probably, just took itself too seriously, except for in a few, you know, select areas.
Yeah, but True Blood had something that Vampire Diaries never will. And that's Anna Paquin's tits.
Yeah, that's true.
So, anyway.
There's a market for you, CW. I mean, if you really want this show to go well, and that would be actually a staple of the Friday the 13th series is needless gratuity.
Here's what a sad comic book junkie of a man that I am. I don't even really actually find Anna Paquin all that attractive, but the fact that she played Rogue, and I can watch True Blood and be like, that's Rogue's tits. Like, I'm just like, there they are.
Yeah, they're right there. I can look at them whenever I want.
And I never watched The Piano, so I don't have those memories of her being like a cute little girl in some like artsy movie that I didn't watch that basically was what Miramax was known for until Clerks came out.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. So yeah, there's a Friday the 13th show on the CW, and I'll check it out. I'll watch probably the first episode to see what direction it goes.
I might. I didn't really ever care much for the Friday the 13th movies.
I like the first one where Jason wasn't in it at all. That was a really good movie.
But I haven't really ever been a big fan, so I might watch the first one and see how it goes. But this, I don't know, doesn't seem miraculous to me. So we actually do have kind of a lot of stuff, sort of, you know, throwback. Throwback Thursday, as it was.
Throwback Thursday, yeah. This is Thursday as we record this.
Yeah. In no small coincidence. So we've got Goonies news. not really Goonies news, just kind of a funny story concerning the Goonies.
We have a funny story concerning fans of the Goonies and the person who owns the house that was filmed. The exteriors of the boys' house and Goonies was filmed at in Astoria, Oregon.
Yeah.
Apparently, the person that owns the house now
is an old curmudgeonly bastard.
Yeah, he's posted signs basically saying, you know, keep off the lawn, you damn kids.
Yeah.
And he's tarped over a good portion of the house. So when you look at it from the street, like, you see a bunch of blue fucking tarps.
Yeah.
So unfortunately,
I'm sure the neighbors are totally digging that.
There will be no truffle shuffles on the lawn at the Goonie house. And I did borrow that line from the Nerdist. So yeah. I will obviously give credit where credit is due. But God damn it.
It's a funny story. Like, the Nerdist actually gets this right. I think in the end, their summary was basically like, why aren't you embracing this? Like, you could charge people $5 and they'll come take pictures of your house and shit like that. And you make a boatload of money. Or at least a substantial, you know, like, no insignificant amount of money, probably.
Like, I kind of get it if like, there's shit going on at night. Like, people are, like, out there, like, trying to, you know, take shots with their big telephoto lenses in the dark and stuff like that. That'd be kind of creepy. But, I mean, there's got to be a way you can monetize it, make everybody happy, and get a little bit of peace, I would think. Yeah.
Especially because this isn't exactly a big enough thing that it's not like you're, you know, like it's Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie or something like that, where there's just constant mobs of paparazzi and fans and shit like that. It's like the Goonies house. Like, you know, it probably sees 4 or 5 people a day at most.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Goonies, more throwback stuff. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah. Christopher Yost.
Whatever.
I don't know.
Sorry, Mr. why?
Is going to be writing the script for the new He-Man and the Masters of the Universe movie, which I am so fucking excited for.
Me too. When I was a kid, He-Man was my jam. I absolutely loved He-Man. I got so much nostalgia the other day because I discovered it was on Netflix. So we watched a few episodes of that, and unsurprisingly, my kids were like, this movie looks stupid because it's all old. And I say movie, but cartoon. The cartoon is what I'm talking about. Because it's all old and they can't watch anything these days that's not like computer animated, which just drives me up the wall. But right. Anyway, yeah, I'm
cartoon characters don't even cast shadows. This is stupid.
Yeah, yeah, I'm super excited for this. I really hope they do something cool with it.
Like, here's why I'm going to be an instant fan of this movie, because it's not in any way, shape, or form possible for it to be worse than the Dolph Lundgren movie that they came out with in the 80s.
We just no, it's not. That. It Fantastic is not. Four.
Nope, it's not. It's not possible.
Okay. We'll see. Well, but yeah,
Do you think Rotten Tomatoes has a score for that Dolph Lundgren movie?
Realistically,
we should check it out and put it side by side with the new Fantastic Four. That's all I'm saying.
Realistically, I don't think it's very likely that it's going to be worse than that. No.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying it's not possible because I didn't think it'd be possible to make a bad Star Wars movie. Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
But.
And like, how could you fuck that up? It's all built in.
Yeah.
I already told half the story.
Like, everybody loves you already. Why do this? But anyway, no.
Masters of the Universe is on Rotten Tomatoes. That's right. We have the technology. I'm looking it up right now. Anyway, yeah, I'm super excited about this. I used to play the hell out of the He-Man toys and all that kind of stuff when I was a kid.
Ha!
17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That beats the new Fantastic Four by 8%, my friend.
Right. which, again, maybe that's our new bar.
Doesn't that reinforce your point, though?
We're going to have to watch it.
Masters of the Universe?
Or Fantastic Four? Fantastic Four, though, just because that's going to be our as far as Rotten Tomatoes is concerned, it's practically the new bar for shitty movies.
Yeah, and I am going to go on a limb here and say that with that Dolph Lundgren movie, like, I was a big fan of Frank Langella, though, as Skeletor.
Yeah.
Like, he killed it as Skeletor in that. I was actually kind of scared of him when that movie came out.
Yeah, I remember actually distinctly really not liking the movie when I was a kid because there was too much that I just didn't get at the time. I was born in 83 and the movie came out in 87, so the latest I saw it was in the 90s, so I was maybe 7.
So you were born the same year that the He-Man cartoon like debuted, because it was 83 as well.
But it was still a big enough deal. Like, I still remember watching He-Man at least when I was 4 or 5.
No, it ran in syndication for a while.
Yeah.
So... And it was only 2 seasons, but back in the day, they did like 65 episodes per season.
Yeah.
So.
And She-Ra. I remember watching She-Ra
there
too.
There was a She-Ra cartoon as well, and I think was it 2 seasons as well, or is it only 1?
I have no clue.
I don't remember. I do remember the Christmas special, though.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I think it's on, if it's not on Netflix, I think Prime has that one.
Probably.
So.
I know they have She-Ra on there, because Ellie actually really liked She-Ra, even though it had its shitty old cartoon.
I liked her villains, man. Hordak and the Evil Horde, they were cool.
Yeah.
I had some of those toys. I had, like, the leech guy that you could stick to windows and shit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I miss my toys from when I was a
kid. I had the Smelly Moss Man He-Man action figure,
too. You know what toy? This is kind of a bit of a digression, but you know what toy I miss the most from when I was a kid? The original Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
The original Optimus Prime was so fucking cool.
And he had that little dude that rolled out of his little...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a real transporter. Like, the Transformers that we have today seem like absolute shit compared to it. Like, there's, like, 2 parts that move on the toys that we have today.
You needed instruction books with the old Transformers. Well, I mean, I didn't. I was always really good at them, but, yeah, like...
It was awesome. There was a lot of shit that transformed on those things, which was just super cool. So, yeah, I missed the hell out of that. That and my original Ninja Turtles toys, which, actually, ironically, my favorite Ninja Turtles toys was not the cartoon versions, but the real live... They had a live-action series... of Ninja Turtles toys, and I think I had all the guys in that, and those were super cool.
So did, like, your Donatello look like Corey Feldman?
No. Actually, he should have. It should have just been Corey Feldman with, like, a purple headband.
Yeah.
And a bow staff. That I'm sure that toy would have sold. Corey Feldman was so gold at that point, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think he was probably in his decline, because that was post Lost Boys.
Ninja Turtles was, like, 89, right?
Was it?
89 or 90. Might have been 91.
No, you've got the magic movie box right there.
Cool. Yeah, it's like, how do we solve this problem? Oh, yeah, internet.
I like those movies, though. I have a box set that has all three of the live-action Turtles movies.
Oh, that's the old Ninja Turtles movie. Or the new Ninja Turtles movie. The new Ninja Turtles movie sucked. I'm sorry. I really tried to watch that like I was a kid, and I didn't have a brain, and it didn't help
anything. Okay, so this isn't in the show notes or anything that we have like listed to cover anything, but I'm going to ask you a question. Are you going to see the second one?
Yeah, probably.
So, I saw one of Stephen Amell's live Facebook videos that he's been doing lately.
Yeah, that's kind of why, at least one of the reasons why I kind of have to.
Did you see the one where he was talking about how there's going to be lots of stuff in there that's geared mainly toward, like, fans of Ninja Turtles, like, real Ninja Turtles fans?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he talked about that video at all. And we already know that we're getting Rocksteady and Bebop in it. And with him being Casey Jones, like, I'm really looking forward to it. I don't even think Megan Fox can fuck this up.
Well, I gotta hedge the bets there again because I wouldn't be incredibly surprised.
Well, I'm just saying, at least, I mean,
I don't know. Maybe they
at least filmed a like steamy love scene.
The first one was just such crap in that, you know, like I really like the feel of the original Ninja Turtle movies. Like I went and rewatched at least the first one, and that was not a kid's movie. Like, I mean, it was a kid's movie, but it really wasn't nearly
as much of a kid's movie. I don't know that. It was a movie that was intended for multiple audiences. That's how I would put it. Because, I mean, there was nothing in there that, like, the kids couldn't watch.
Yeah.
But there was definitely stuff in there that was, like...
Well, no, there were actually... Not a lot, but there were a couple of things where I was like, I'm really surprised I'm seeing this, and that movie probably couldn't have been worse than PG at the time. But that's another thing, too. If you ever go back and watch some of the movies from the 80s and 70s and stuff like that, what they did and what they called a PG movie at the time is... so far removed from what we do, and even PG-13 a lot of the times.
We live in the age of political correctness where things that we saw while growing up
are
completely different. And it's been the same for generations. It's
if you remove the nostalgia factor from it, I think there would be a lot more people up in arms about letting your kids watch, you know, say like The Breakfast Club or something like that.
Which, parents, please let your kids watch The Breakfast Club. Because it's totally worth it.
Hollywood, please do not attempt to remake The Breakfast Club.
Don't ever fucking touch John Hughes's library. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. The answer was 1990, everybody. 1990 was the year that the first Ninja Turtles movie came out.
God, glad we fucking sorted that out.
Yeah. You can rest easy now, folks. So, yeah, what are we talking about? He-Man, yeah.
We were talking about He-Man. I think we're ready to move on now.
Yeah. I think we moved on about a half hour ago. So what else we got in the nostalgia section?
X-Files. X-Files is, I think they're done filming. They have been filming at the very least.
Yeah.
And the article that we have posted that'll be on the show notes is not necessarily about anything super duper huge, but Annabeth Gish, who played Agent Reyes in season 9, I think, of the original run... is coming back, in addition to having both Mulder and Scully here for the revival half-season series.
I thought this is kind of interesting. Like, isn't this a little bit like having Jesse and Tori on the same episode? That's a Saved by the Bell reference, I know.
Yeah, no. Were they not? Jesse and Tori were? Yes, they were.
Maybe I'm thinking of Tori and... the cheerleader one. Kelly? Tiffany Amber. Kelly.
I thought they were all there for that. No, maybe Tori. I don't remember.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to rewatch the whole series now. Okay, anyway.
It's on Netflix. Check it out. No. Wait, why did we just turn this into a Saved by the Bell plug?
I don't know. It sounded funny. And we're nostalgic so hard all over everything.
I would not compare it to Jesse and Tori. I would say it would be like having Bo and Luke on at the same time as their stupid cousins that replaced them the year they were on strike. I'm just really excited we get more X-Files. I know you didn't. I don't think you watched the original series, at least not the entire one. I watched
enough that I'm familiar with it, and like I'm familiar with some of the overall arcs.
So part of what happened in the original storyline, and this is a spoiler, possibly, maybe.
A spoiler on a show that's been off the air for like 8, 9, 10, 15 years. Yeah,
like we're lucky we're even getting new X-Files episodes at all this late in the game. But Mulder left for a while, and Scully, I think, was around, but not really around. Like, I don't remember what the deal was with her. But they brought in Robert Patrick, who's fucking amazing, and like almost everything I've seen him in.
Yeah. Doggett. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. And then Agent Reyes was his partner, and they kind of did thing. I think they were searching for Mulder, basically. It seemed like that. I mean, it didn't really seem like they were there. Like, it wasn't like, these are the replacements because these actors won't do this right now. They still tried to keep those characters very much in the story continuity, arc.
Yeah. I got that impression too. And again, I vaguely remember, and I only watched a little bit of that, especially that late in the game. But yeah, I vaguely remember that being a thing that, like, Mulder was not, it wasn't like a, you know, when the sister goes upstairs in Happy Days moment where, like, she's just never coming back now.
Yeah.
And they don't ever talk about it again. I do remember that was a little bit at least of a plot point. So whether they had plans for him to come back or not, it was certainly on the table, it would seem.
Yeah. Yeah, no. X-Files. I'm into it. So the next little piece of news that we have, and I'm staring over at Eddie's little iPad, and I can see Lucy Lawless right there and all of her gold bustier glory.
I forgot how hot Lucy Lawless was.
She was, yeah.
Right. I mean, I suppose that's probably half the audience for the show right there.
I mean, it's kind of...
Lucy in leather.
So. It's kind of sad that she didn't really go topless in anything until Spartacus.
Yeah.
But
this is going to be the misogyny show. Like, if we had any listeners, this would be the one where their wives all complain while they were listening to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're sorry.
So... NBC says that there is a Xena Warrior Princess reboot that's happening. Now, this is the thing. There's a title that we put up in the show notes for this, which is essentially the written form of Xena's Warrior Princess cry. If somebody goes on our links and buys a Skylake processor and gets us money from Amazon, Eddie will do that Warrior Princess call.
Dude, I'll do that
on a show.
If I can find the outfit, I'll wear the outfit. This is kind of interesting. I'm skimming the article as we're going through, and it seems like Lucy Lawless may not be actually involved in the project, which, shocking. I don't think that's very shocking.
No, I don't think it's shocking at all, considering that the word reboot is in the title anyway.
Yeah.
But her husband owns part of the property.
Yeah.
And... so I think if there's the article kind of, and I believe it's the same article. I've read a couple different articles about it now, but I believe this article kind of talks about how she says that she hasn't necessarily heard anything, but that doesn't mean that they're not moving forward without her.
Yeah.
But I would think her husband would tell her if they were like, hey, we're going to use your property for this.
By the way, you've been recast. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I do think that it would be a huge mistake if they were to do a Xena show and not include her in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it really depends on what they're going for. Like, this is one of the things I really liked about the Star Trek 2009 reboot, is that it was an obvious reboot, but they still found a way to get fucking Leonard Nimoy in there as Spock.
No, the continuity is intact. Like, you can still watch Voyager or Deep Space Nine or what have you and, like, understand how that plays into what's happening in the new movies, which, by the way, we don't have a ton of information on Star Trek 3 yet, although we have a title for it. I don't know what it is.
Which I don't even remember. Yeah. But anyway.
But I'm excited for that too. But
I like the way that they did that. You know, like if we're talking about rebooting a series and getting the old actor or actress to come back and play the titular role, the way that they did Star Trek, I thought, was a really nice way to do that in universe. Now, I'm not sure how they would do that with Xena, you know, because presumably you cannot bring Lucy Lawless back and have her play, like, you know, not Xena.
Yeah, I mean, the gold bustier would have to probably be a lot stronger to hold things into the same places that they were fucking 15 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, actually, no, I don't know. Have you seen her? She's been in some stuff. She's still a fine-looking woman.
I'm not saying she's aged badly. I'm just saying that, I mean... I don't think that she's probably made up of a lot of fake parts, is all I'm saying. And that's a compliment. You know what I mean?
Which we like. But the you know, interesting thing to me would be if they're going to reboot the series, presumably that means a whole new actress and you know, the supporting characters. And they may not even be the supporting characters, but I would presume the heroine is still Xena. And then how do you have Xena, Lucy Xena, and whoever they bring back or whoever they bring in to play the new Xena coexist on the same screen unless it's like some sort of like, well, we'll just name my daughter Xena because I'm a warrior princess and I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Here's my thing, man, and that is, how do you cast the role of Gabrielle? I mean, presuming this is a legit reboot, you're not going to leave that character out because she was so fucking important to the actual original show. But if you don't cast her correctly, you're done. Your audience is gone. Because Gabrielle was the character that a lot of people gravitated toward because she wasn't like Xena hot. She was like girl next door pretty and stuff. And then it just so happens that as the show progressed, they kind of worked it into like Xena Warrior Princess being like one of the first like openly gay.
Yeah.
You know, characters in a pop culture, popular pop culture thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So
I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting too, because I would have said that the, if you're going to relate to one of the characters on the show, it probably would have been Gabrielle, at least initially. I mean,
yeah,
probably that changed for some people when they outed her, but I don't know. So yeah, that is an interesting angle. No clue. We literally have nothing. Even Lucy Lawless in the article is saying basically, I don't know what they're talking about. If they want me to come, I'd love to do it. If they do, you know,
I think the best thing we can do is after we're done watching He-Man and Fantastic Four, we should probably watch all of Hercules and Xena.
Yeah, actually, that's another thing that I'm excited for. Like this, there's sort of a dearth of this sort of material right now, which is these types of shows that don't take themselves too seriously. Like everybody's trying to be Game of Thrones or like Vikings or something like that,
right,
or Spartacus. And it's like, some of this stuff doesn't need to be the most serious thing in the world. Like a couple of my favorite book properties that are constantly rumored to be in some sort of production for television or for movies are the Wheel of Time series. And the other one being
Shannara.
Shannara's one, but no, I'm thinking of Name of the Wind, The Kingkiller Chronicles by Pat Rothfuss, which is my favorite book series at the moment. But they're not nearly like on the level of grim reality that exists in Game of Thrones and anything like that.
Shannara kind of is, but that wasn't your idea. That was me throwing that name out there. So
yeah, some of it, and some of it is, and some of it isn't. Like it depends on which parts of the Shannara series you read. But and certainly both of those series that I named, Wheel of Time and The Kingkiller Chronicles, have their moments of just absolutely kind of fucked up shit happening. But not nearly to the level that of just sort of grim, dark fantasy that exists in Game of Thrones and all these other shows that are currently out, like Vikings and Game of Thrones and all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, if nothing else. Like, I would love to see a resurgence of just sort of, like, fun fantasy-related shows.
So Sam Raimi being part of that is a big deal, obviously, because he kind of is the grandfather of like sci-fi camp, what with Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2,
yeah,
Army of Darkness kind of stuff. Also really, really love the fact that he found a way to work in Bruce Campbell to both those shows.
Yeah, me too.
Bruce Campbell is one of those underrated, and not even underrated anymore. I think he's got a cult following now that pretty much rivals some of the major actors out there. Like, he's always got one of the longest lines at Comic-Con and shit like that when I've been.
I think in his niche, you know, that's what I was thinking too. At Comic-Con, you can go and be Britney Spears at Comic-Con, but Bruce Campbell's line is probably just as long.
Longer.
Yeah.
I mean, unless the line is to throw something at Britney Spears.
like just in that audience, in that segment, I think most of the people listening to this show are not like, who's Bruce Campbell? But I don't think that would be a completely abnormal reaction if you're talking to, you know, quote unquote normal people.
No, and I gotta get my movie, or not my movie, my box set back from a friend of mine. I actually own the Briscoe County Jr. TV series,
yeah,
which is awesome.
I have to go watch that.
It's bad. It's really bad in a lot of places, but it's so good because it's Bruce Campbell and he's just fucking amazing.
Bruce Campbell being Bruce Campbell, which, I mean, what more can you want?
Yeah.
So anyway, Xena reboot maybe is happening.
Probably.
What
else? What else we got?
You put a link in here, Fear the Walking Dead. What do you want to talk about?
I don't have a link for it. I need to find the video. There's a video up that's a teaser, but by the time people watch this, I think the show is actually out, because I think it's out this weekend.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because I this is the one thing I hate about summer is there's nothing good on TV.
No, but now we have Walking Dead, sort of.
Or at least it's kind of coming back. But this is another thing, too, that I like. I really like the Walking Dead and the genre. And I hope they don't go too far from... you know, I hope they get the spirit of the Walking Dead.
Here's the thing, man. And this is what I fear because of a line that was in the video. And we will post a link to the video, but you may have already seen it by this time. In that video, there's a line, and I think it's a voiceover more than anything else, but like you hear somebody say, I don't know, it's either a virus or a microbe or something. I don't want them necessarily to explain what it is.
I think that will never happen, but I think that's a valid thing to come up, like even in the first season. And this again depends, when they switched showrunners, they went heavily in a different direction.
And this is more of a prequel too. We have to remember that this is actually set from the outbreak of the whole thing. Which we probably should have specified that toward the beginning of our discussion, but, you know, whatever.
We've talked about this before. So
have we?
If you're confused, just go back and listen to the last 14 episodes. It's in there somewhere.
yeah. You guys better do it, because I ain't gonna.
No. Yeah. I think it's natural for them to talk about it, but I think if they ever actually hint at what it might actually be, I'll kind of be pissed off.
Yeah, that's my point, too. And, I mean, if we're really talking about things anyway, everybody has it, so it's obviously a microbe. I mean, it's not a virus. Like, you know what I mean?
The like, world's coolest virus. But see, that's the thing that this is the exact reason right here that I don't want anybody to ever say what it is.
No, that's
because you have to suspend disbelief to get into a zombie show in the first place. Because zombies just can't fucking exist in real life.
No, and the second you say this is why this exists, you have 65% of your audience going, well, that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah. And finding the obvious plot holes. So, like, the acceptable reasons for zombies are. Who fucking knows? And magic. The end. Like, there is no more, like, explanation needed. Please do not give us a Walking Dead midichlorians moment.
And we've never seen a necromancer on any of the shows previously, so I'm willing to accept the fact that there's no reason. What happened.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a weird twist? If all of a sudden, like, wizards and shit show up in the next season. Right.
Like, you've got the Lich King from World of Warcraft, like, just like, marching through.
It's like, ah, damn it. You set a sandwich down, one of you fuckers picks it up, and look what's happened.
Rick just walks up to him with his big python and shoots him in the head. Yeah. Oh. All right, well, we solved it.
Yeah. The end. You guys want to go get some Starbucks? Fear the Walking Dead. I'm actually pretty excited to watch this. I'm cautiously optimistic.
How excited are you for not only this, but for October when we get actual Walking Dead back? Because the way the last season left off, like, as much as I didn't think it was groundbreaking like everybody else said it was a good cliffhanger. And I'm really, at this point, I'm like, I need to find out where Morgan lies and, like...
I think the problem I have with the last... First off, I liked the last season, too, and I thought they picked up a lot of ground. Like, there was a definite bottom in The Walking Dead. I would say somewhere towards the end of season 2, and they probably started to come out of the slump in the middle of season 3 somewhere. But I think one of the problems with The Walking Dead the last season, especially the finale, is that they had kind of a Chekhov's gun moment where it's kind of interesting because that's not actually a good analogy for this, because it was more the setup off screen. Like, they played it up to be like this, oh my God, you're never going to believe what happens. And so the speculation just ran rampant. Like, they're going to kill blank. They're going to kill Daryl. Carol's going to get it. They're going to kill, you know, any number of characters. I don't want to spoil the comics, but there's definitely a couple of routes they could have gone that would have been a pretty big fucking deal for the show.
Right, right.
Which they definitely didn't do. So it was a little bit like the Chekhov's gun. Like, they put the gun on the stage and never fired it. And so it feels a little unfulfilling.
Yeah, like the whole like, you're not going to believe what happens kind of a thing. Like,
yeah, I guess they couldn't come out and say, it's all right. You should watch it. You know,
whatever. I mean, basically what they were getting at was Rick killed a dude in, like, I don't want to say cold blood because he had his reasons. But, like, he did it, like, right in front of not only, like, the town council and shit, but, like, Morgan, who had just wandered back into the scene.
Yeah.
And, like, I think they were getting at, oh my God, what's Morgan gonna think? But Morgan gets it. That's my feeling is, like, Morgan's like, well, that dude obviously did something. You know what I mean?
You know, I don't know how that's gonna go, because I think they meant to play that like, oh yeah, Morgan's going to be so pissed off about this shit. But I think that they, you know, it depends on the route they decide to go with the writing, because they could do like a, you know, everything's a big misunderstanding that happens in like every rom-com ever. And they play that out for a few episodes. But I think it's like a 10-minute discussion at most from Rick.
Yeah, like you gotta remember too that the last time Rick saw Morgan, Morgan was fucking batshit crazy.
True.
So, I mean,
and you do see Morgan, or I don't know if it was earlier in the episode or in the last few episodes, you know, basically killing a guy because, you know, he had no choice too. So
yeah, and they ended up, yeah, I don't know, I don't think it was as groundbreaking, but I am looking forward to seeing where they go from here. Obviously, I think we're gonna get Negan this season.
Oh yeah, I think they've been setting that up for quite a while now.
Negan is a big bad that actually took press, like he was the big bad for a lot of episodes or a lot of issues of the comic. So
yeah.
I say episodes, it's because that's what they are. But
yeah, the way that Negan was described to me, which is pretty apt when I asked, because I keep reading. I had heard the name, you know, reading the things, and everybody's been pretty good not to spoil the arc, and I won't hear either. But Negan was described to me as being, you know, like, you know how you hate the governor, you know how that guy's a dick. Well, Negan is like that to the 10th power.
Like if you're a fan of the Spinal Tap movie, Negan is the governor turned up to 11.
Yeah, definitely.
But
it's one
without the heads in a fish tank.
But a lot of other fucked up shit.
Yeah.
So
but
stay
I mean,
tuned, everyone.
Yeah. and please, by all means, if you have the means to do so, read the comic books if you are a fan of the TV show. There are ways to get the comic books. They're available. Each story arc is actually available for sale as a graphic novel. So you don't have to worry about not having 20 grand to buy the first issue of the comic. You can also buy large collections and big, I think there's 3 or 4 omnibuses available. Omnibuy? I don't know what the plural is.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. As somebody who watched the show first and then read the comics after, I think you'll find it interesting because, and vice versa. I've heard it from a lot of people who have read the comics and then watched the show, that it's different enough, you still want to watch it. Same thing, like if you've watched Game of Thrones and read the books, it's still really fun to watch Game of Thrones, the show, as a book reader, because the way that they approach certain things and some things they leave out and some things they add in, it's different enough that it's still really interesting to watch. And while you may get the big arc, or you may understand some of the big arcs, some of the stuff is very different. And The Walking Dead, I think even a little bit more so than Game of Thrones.
I yeah, it's weird because I've always been a big fan of superhero comics and whatnot.
Yeah.
And this is what would, I guess, probably be classified as a horror comic.
Probably.
But I don't, the thing about The Walking Dead, and if you haven't gotten this by now, this is not a spoiler. The thing about The Walking Dead is it is not a story about zombies. It is a story about the human condition and what becomes of us once you strip away our technology. And
convenience.
Everything
else. Once you strip away convenience, yeah. Essentially, I think is the thing.
Yeah, and it really centers around Rick Grimes, but I mean, it's not just him. It is what happens to people when they're in a position where they no longer have the luxury of convenience, like Eddie said. And it's a good story. So yeah. I'll tell you what, dear listeners, I will even find an Amazon link to the first omnibus or graphic novel or maybe multiples, and you can take your pick and buy whichever one you choose, so long as you use our link to do it.
Yeah. You can still buy it anyway, but we won't get any money.
Cheap
plug. Asshole. Yeah. what else we got?
Got a few things. We got Star Wars news. We got a director for episode 9.
Yeah. Colin Trevorrow, who I hope I'm getting that name right. It's, looks like Trevorrow. Looks like it would rhyme with tomorrow. Trevorrow?
Whatever. Yeah.
He's signed on for Star Wars 9, I believe, if I can read Roman numerals properly.
That is 9.
Wonderful. You might have known him if you've seen Jurassic World. He did Jurassic World. He was the director for that. The other movie that he did that I saw, I'm sure there's probably more than one, but the other one I saw was Safety Not Guaranteed. I don't know if this is on Netflix still, but it was on Netflix when I watched it. That's where I saw it. It's a smaller indie flick, and it was pretty good. So if you want to get a little bit more familiar with him, you can check out either of those two things. And I, you know, the easier accessible one probably right now is Safety Not Guaranteed, and I would still recommend
it. Yeah, because I think Jurassic World's theater run is, I think, at its end, unless you have a second run theater in your town or whatever. And yeah. Then it's slated for release, I assume, late fall.
Yeah. So,
I think the big news here, though, is that unlike his last film, Jurassic World, I think most of the characters in the film that he'll be directing in episode 9 have anuses.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Yeah. How much dinosaurs poop, man?
No clue. You know, I wonder if that's going to be a thing for him on set. Like, well, this is weird. I've never actually directed an actor with an anus.
What do you mean you have to go to the bathroom?
Yeah. None of my CG
I directed dinosaurs. They didn't have to poop.
I'd actually find it remarkably hilarious if that was the thing. Like, this actually sounds like a sketch on Saturday Night Live. Like, if he directed everybody like they were a dinosaur.
That
would be fun. Seriously, I think this is probably the type of project he can pull off. Jurassic World is a big spectacle movie. The thing that actually worries me a little bit is that the story was by far, I thought, the weakest part of Jurassic World.
Yeah, but I think the story is the weakest part of any Jurassic Park movie, though. I mean, when you think about ultimately what the movie's about.
Probably.
The first movie was good because it was kind of the introduction, and then the second one was worse because they were like, let's capitalize on this multi-million-dollar franchise. And then the third one was like, let's
try and make
some more money.
Yeah.
But this movie was actually good by those standards. I thought the special effects I think we're at a point now where the special effects were used properly to make a decent movie. Mm-hmm. And there were some plot holes that I think people thought were going to be there that they actually explained away with lines of dialogue within the movie. And sure, they may have been written in specifically to plug up those plot holes, but, you know, fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah. So some of that, like, needless exposition, you know, like show don't tell type of thing bugged me a little bit. But
the fact of the matter, and I think what you were getting at, is he took a large, very popular franchise and directed a very good movie.
Yeah. It's certainly a quality entry, and probably I would say the resurgence, or what will cause a resurgence in the interest of Jurassic Park, especially because like by the time 3 came out, I didn't give a shit.
Yeah. And honestly, this is his Jedi.
Yeah.
Because it is episode 9. So, I mean, as long as he doesn't fucking put a bunch of teddy bears in there swinging around on vines, we're probably all right.
Yeah.
Or Shia LaBeouf. Don't put him in there swinging around on vines.
You know, the thing is I think that that actually might be the only movie he would get cast in lately, because he seems to be batshit crazy, and I'm pretty sure most of the directors aren't going to want to touch him right now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
just do it, man.
You actually made a really good point. Really, all he's got to do is not fuck it up, so. And I'm reasonably confident, at least having seen Jurassic World, that he has a good chance at doing just that.
Well,
just, you know, not fucking it up.
Based on everything that we've seen surrounding The Force Awakens, it's very apparent to me that Disney is very interested in making these Star Wars movies. So the directors, I think, are going to be in a position where, yes, it is their movie to direct, but they're going to have a lot of influence from the producers basically saying, look, this is a Star Wars movie for Star Wars fans.
Isn't that weird? When you heard that Disney purchased Marvel, your immediate reaction was,
uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know,
when you heard they purchased Lucasfilm.
No, actually,
by the time they got to Lucasfilm, I was a little bit more comfortable with it.
I'm one of the only dudes on the planet that was like, I've seen Phantom Menace. I don't care who owns it at this point. Like,
like, you can't get any worse, so you might as well.
Yeah. I'm glad it's not in Lucas's hands anymore. That was my...
But I am kind of surprised, because while Disney has done some absolute shit, I think that maybe that time is behind them in a lot of regard. Well, first off, the company's, what, 70 years old or
Disney's
something?
Disney's had ebbs and flows. You know what I mean? So, I mean...
But they got really bad, I think, particularly in the mid to late 90s, where it was just sort of, we're going to do a direct-to-DVD level... you know, spin off of basically all of the properties that had any success. And
yeah, like, here's the thing, and I think this is what's becoming more obvious as the years go by, and that is, you can own a property without necessarily heavily influencing it. Like, you can own Marvel, but you can still let Marvel do their thing. And that's what we've seen with the Marvel cinemas. Or, you know, the cinematic universe.
Like, I think that's definitely got to be a lesson they learned from their involvement with Pixar. Like, that was the one. I don't know why this didn't pop up.
Right. They broke up with Pixar, what, twice, I think?
Yeah, and when they first really bought Pixar, I remember thinking, well, that's the end. Like, especially because at this point, Pixar had, like, nothing but a string of hits behind them. I think they bought Pixar around the time The Incredibles came out.
Yeah. And then Cars was supposed to be like the last Disney Pixar
collab before it was all straight up, you know, Disney owned Pixar.
But then they didn't do that. Like, they left Pixar somewhat autonomous.
Yeah. But I will say, my opinion is that they've left Pixar pretty well. Like, the only thing that I really hate so far that they've done with Pixar is anything past Cars. Cars by far is the weakest entry to me, and it was the least likely to need a sequel out of all of the movies they've done. And
dude, I didn't hate either one of those movies, though. Like, that's the things, like, my little girl.
They're, like, not terrible, but they're not, to me, like, Pixar-level quality.
No, and here's the thing, man. Like, I watch NASCAR sometimes.
Yeah.
Which, I know, that's weird, right?
Yeah.
No, but, like, I got a little three-year-old girl, though, that watched a race with me one day when I was watching it on a Sunday or whatever, and then, like, she was like, don't we have one where the cars talk, you know what I mean? And, like, so she's been watching that, though, because, like, that's her way of kind of...
Oh yeah, Cars definitely has appeal, and obviously for Disney it has appeal. I think the biggest reason, though, that they got those through is just what you're saying. Like, it appeals to younger kids, and it sells toys. Like, it sells the shit out of toys. Like, far more, I think, than any other property, it sells the shit out of toys.
No, and that's funny that you mentioned that, because we talked about He-Man earlier, and did you know that He-Man was the first cartoon series that was created solely to market toys?
I didn't. I definitely knew that Transformers, the other, you know, beloved property of mine, was basically a toy commercial. But...
Oh, fuck, you sell so many toys with Transformers cartoons. Like, the old ones, anyway. The good ones.
Yeah. But, Yeah.
So it's not surprising that Disney would use Cars in that manner, and or any property, really.
Yeah, I mean, just for me, that's the only, and I wouldn't even call it a stain. It's more just like, you know, that tiny little spot you can't, like a dead pixel for me. That's what Cars is a little bit, at least Cars 2. Cars 1 is not bad, but it's not good, particularly good either. Whereas I really enjoyed all the other Pixar properties. Actually, we just took the kids. Planes isn't Pixar. Planes is just another... Planes was an actual, like, not... Like we were talking about, except for that's not Marvel, you know, like...
Was Pixar not involved in those?
Nope.
Weird. Because it's part of the same universe.
Yeah, but that I think is the tell right there. It's part of the same universe, but it was clearly done by different people.
But Dane Cook, man.
Because they sold... It sells toys.
Yeah.
But speaking of, we took the kids to the drive-in to see In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Or Inside Out, sorry.
Inside Out.
That's a whole different movie, folks. that was really good. I really enjoyed it.
My kids saw the preview of it at a movie, and then somehow, like, I got kids, my oldest is 11, but we got friends that are like 12 and 13 and stuff, and we were all at a get-together one day, and apparently the kids figured out how to watch it on the internet.
As kids will do.
Which we don't condone.
Of course not.
But
we're serious, all right.
But they watched it, and then they were like, but we want to see it in good quality. And I'm like, well, I'm not taking you to a movie that you've already seen. So, sorry. Wait
for the DVD to come out.
Yeah.
No, it was super solid. I really liked it. And this is kind of the emblem of a good Pixar movie to me, is that my kids really liked it, and I really liked it too, because they don't dumb the story down so far that it, you know, becomes like... Conversely, we watched Home for family movie night this last week, and it was fucking terrible. DreamWorks Home. It's the little alien guy.
I think my wife kind of liked that one. She saw that one in the theater with not one of our kids, ironically.
I hated it. It was an hour and a half long Rihanna commercial.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah. And then just with, you know, all of the, like, most immature types of, you know, jokes that you can imagine, which, don't get me wrong, I love me a good immature joke, but this was even a little too lowbrow for me.
Hey, we do a whole podcast on dick and fart jokes.
Come on. It's true.
All right, so...
Well, that's good. At least you didn't take him to see Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that's true. Why did you do that?
Good
Child way Protective Services is
breaking your fucking
door.
Kid's heart right there, man. Yeah. Why don't you talk about some Doctor Who shit? Because you're more caught up on that than I am.
Yeah, there's not really a whole lot to talk about this. I just wanted to include this a little bit, and we can't really have a whole lot of discussion because I don't think you're a huge Doctor Who fan.
Barty Crouch Jr. is still the Doctor where I'm at, so...
Yeah, you're like way fucking behind.
That's David Tennant, by the way, for
He's
those who don't
two
know.
Two Doctors behind. We're on 12 now, folks. Actually, really technically three. Sort of.
What the fuck are you talking about? There's Matt Smith and there's the old dude, Capaldi, Peter Capaldi.
In the words of the great River Song, have you gotten River Song yet?
River Song?
Yeah, spoilers. What? Spoilers. Doctor Who fans will get that. So, Hayley Atwell, you know Hayley Atwell from Agent Carter on the TV series and, of course, from the Captain America movies as Agent Peggy Carter. Got asked who she would like to play on Doctor Who, or if there's a character she'd like to play on Doctor Who. And she said, yeah, I want to play the Doctor.
The fucking Doctor.
Yeah. Which...
Who do you think I want to play?
Right.
Sorry, that's my terrible British accent that only happens when I'm drinking.
At some point, like, we're going to have a British listener, and then that's going to just be fun. It's going to be fun. Anyway, you can tweet us at whatever you show.
What's all this, then? Fuck you think you're doing?
No. Hayley Atwell expressed interest in playing the actual Doctor, which is not an altogether crazy idea. Like, there have been rumors about having a female Doctor for some time, and I think would be really interesting. Like, I would really love to see how they do that.
So here's some interesting Doctor Who trivia, which you probably already know, but some of you may not. If you are familiar with the episode entitled The Doctor's Daughter, which was a David Tennant episode.
Mm-hmm.
They ran into a person that was cloned from
the Doctor.
The Doctor's genetic material, but happened to be a very attractive young female.
Indeed.
That David Tennant married.
Because she was very attractive. And probably other qualities too.
Also happens to be the daughter of, I believe, the fifth Doctor.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So,
The Doctor married his own daughter legitimately.
The Doctor married his own daughter. He married his own daughter / granddaughter, and then they had a baby, and I don't even know.
Yeah. There's a bit of an Oedipus complex there, I think.
Probably. Somewhere. That's got to be confusing at family reunions. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. One branch on that tree. But they're just... British, so, I mean, it's not like their teeth are going to be anymore.
It just looks like a broom. But that's the family tree.
I'm sorry. If you're English... I didn't really mean that. I say mean things when I'm drunk.
We don't really have anything on the British healthcare system anymore. Like, they have the NHS and they look at us like heathens when we say, like, we had to pay for medical care or we can't go to the doctor.
Not only do we have to pay for it, but we're literally forced to fucking pay for it now. Like,
yeah, and we fight for the ability to pay for out of pocket medical care because we're smart.
Keep doing what you're doing, England.
So anyway, Doctor Who, female Doctor. And actually, I really like that now that this idea is in my head, I really like the idea of Hayley playing that part because she's just right to me. Like, she has a nice sort of elegance about her that I think would fit well in the Doctor Who universe.
So do you think that'll happen?
No.
Because, like, didn't they actually just, like, renew Agent Carter for, like, an actual full season?
Yeah, first off, Agent Carter's coming back, and we have a Doctor right now, and he's on for another season at least, so...
And Capaldi actually, like, I've seen a couple episodes, and I don't like to watch things out of order, but...
Yeah.
I've seen Capaldi in a couple episodes, and Capaldi is, he's a good Doctor. Like, he's kind of a mix between, I would say, probably Matt Smith and Eccleston.
First off, don't get me wrong. I haven't watched a lot of classic Who, but that is a very new Who thing to say because you can go Google comparisons between him and the first, like the original Doctor.
Right.
And you can see that's very much where they're trying to go with that, which is totally cool too. My only problem with Capaldi's Doctor is that he's been given some shit writing. Like the writing has been very, very iffy. In the last couple seasons to me.
The one episode that I watched, that the full episode that had him then, was like, he totally mind-fucked a Dalek into, like, understanding why it's not okay to be a Dalek. And, like, just that fucking thing went insane. And it was nuts. But yeah, that was a good episode, and I thought that was probably, and I, again, this is just me guessing, but like that had to be like one of the preeminent episodes to really give you an insight into the Capaldi Doctor versus like an Eccleston or a Tennant or a Smith or any of the older Doctors. Some of those older Doctors are really fucked up. I've seen episodes like from the older ones, and I don't know why I'm whispering because I'm trying to record this, but
he said some of those Doctors were really fucked up, yeah. Which there is a lot of differences about different Doctors, and I think that's really kind of an interesting thing about the show. And yeah, there is definitely, especially compared to Matt Smith's sort of whimsical nature and David. One of the things that I like about Capaldi's Doctor is
I don't want to go.
Yeah,
I liked Tennant.
I like Tennant. Tennant had some of my favorite moments, but also some of my least favorite too. Like I didn't particularly like that one. Is sort of like Tennant's also to me the whiny Doctor. Like.
Yeah, but it was about Rose, man. Tennant.
Yeah.
Tennant's relationship with Rose was nuts compared to like a lot of the Doctors.
See, that's another thing that's sort of unique to Tennant and, you know, Doctor number 10 is that there usually isn't a and a lot of fans don't like that, like the love interest aspect of that relationship. And it wasn't really my favorite part either. I mean, it was fine, especially cuz I think I started I did start with New Who and Eccleston and the whole Rose 10 relationship thing.
Eccleston kind of picked her up because, like, she was a odd, quirky little plaything to him. But, yeah. Like, Tennant really, really got her and, like, wanted to like, explore the universe with her and shit. So,
yeah, but that's one of the things that I like about the current series and having Capaldi as the Doctor. And what's her name? God. I can't remember her name. Clara Oswald. Whoever her real name is. That's one of the things that I sort of like about that is it seems to me like they've completely removed the romantic side of the relationship. And so it allows you to focus on a lot of other different, more interesting things in some regards. So can't keep telling the Ross and Rachel story every fucking 5 minutes, everybody. Hollywood, seriously. Probably I shouldn't be saying this to Hollywood because I think we've been doing that for like, I don't know, several thousand years probably. But
and she should have fucking married Joey anyway.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
So... yeah, Haley as the Doctor, totally on board. Let's make it happen.
Right on. So we got a couple other things. I'm going to say a lot. Patrick Stewart, as of 16 hours ago, did an AMA on Reddit. Go check that out because there's going to be some comedy gold in there for sure because Patrick Stewart is the man. I don't think either one of us has actually read much of it.
I read a fairly good portion of it. And all I will say is if you already are a fan of Patrick Stewart, which, why the fuck would you not be? I mean, everything he does is awesome, basically.
Right.
This is just going to make it even better. Like, he is just every bit the guy that you think he is, at least. Or at least he comes across. Like, if we have a Cosby moment with Patrick Stewart, I don't know. I'm probably going to slip my wrists and call it a day.
Dude, that would be heartbreaking. Yeah. Like, I don't give a fuck about Bill Cosby.
Yeah, no. You know Patrick what I mean? Stewart would be like mine. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, Santa Claus did what? You know, like, type of, like... That can't even be a thing.
For sure.
Yeah, no, the AMA is awesome, and Patrick Stewart is just absolutely a fantastic human being to have on the planet, so check that out.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about mobile gaming, like on your mobile device, on your iPad or your iPhone or your Android device. So I have recently almost gotten divorced because of Fallout Shelter.
Yeah. I actually haven't had much time, and it's probably for the best that I haven't really gotten too far into Fallout Shelter.
I'm better now. Like I can not check it every 5 minutes, especially because a lot of the shit that
he has gone to work this week, folks.
Yeah, barely though. No.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like it's more fun than Fallout.
See, it's interesting you say that because that I'm sure there's people that are probably like lining up, like just sharpening crosses to hang you up on right now, hearing that sentence. But I think that's probably true. Like, first off, I would like to see some numbers because it wouldn't surprise me if Fallout Shelter surpasses a number of Fallout games combined.
Yeah, I the article that I posted is actually kind of weird because it basically talks about the number of babies that have been born.
Yeah.
And since Fallout Shelter was released, and as of today, it looks like it's 81.9 million babies, Fallout Shelter babies have been born. Which, if you're wondering what that is, Fallout Shelter is basically a game that is based on the Fallout series by Bethesda. And but it's really, really...
The gameplay is quite a bit different from the traditional
Fallout style. Yeah, it's totally cheesy. Like, you basically have, like, this little shelter, and your whole goal is to get dwellers in it.
Yeah.
And you build different rooms to do different things, to generate food or water or...
It's a lot more...
power and such.
I would sort of say it's kind of like a weird cross between, like, a Sims game and, like, a city builder style.
Dude, did you ever play the game called Evil Genius by Elixir that came out, like, years ago? God, it was such a good game. And it was, they were going to do a sequel. It was in development, and the studio got bought out, and the whole project got scrapped. But it's a lot like Evil Genius, where, like, you have your base, and you have to build rooms, and you have minions that run around and do different things. You don't actually directly control the minions. You just basically tell them what to do. And they do it however they do it. Fallout Shelter is somewhat similar to that, but it's for mobile, and it's really fun, actually.
So I'm not a hardcore gamer by any means, but I don't really play many games on my mobile at all, like, which is interesting, because I think that's probably primarily, like, for people who buy apps, which, if you're really whining about spending a dollar on an app that you're going to use 100 times a year or something like that, you're kind of nuts. But people that buy apps, I think, probably buy a lot of games. Like, I'm sure the games market on iOS especially, but Android as well, is humongous.
Yeah. I would say Android probably is a bigger game market, just because there's not nearly as much legal rigmarole you have to go through to get into the App Store. Well, I'm not saying they're quality games.
Yeah, by any means, I was going to say, but it sort of depends on what you're talking about, because, yes, it wouldn't surprise me at all if you had, like, you know, 89,000 Bejeweled clones, which, don't get me wrong, the iOS App Store has the same problem in a lot of respects. But the limits pushing gaming as far as mobile goes is happening primarily on iOS right now. Which is kind of interesting, but anyway, not enough, you know, like, fanboy warring. The interesting thing to me here is this game is something that certainly a lot of Fallout fans are digging, but I'm surprised to see it's finding a niche outside of that, and it seems to be finding a pretty big niche outside of that.
Yeah.
This is kind of an interesting way to approach mobile, because it one of the things that a lot of mobile games do is try to fit some paradigm from... you know, like PC gaming or you know, console gaming, you know, like shooters show up on the games, the store all the time, and shooters really kind of suck on mobile devices. Yeah.
I mean, if you can just touch your finger on something and it shoots it, like, where's the challenge? You know what I mean?
Well, part of that, or you have the more classic, like, you know, D-pad on the screen style of shooter, or, you know, some sort of mix of the two. And I have not really enjoyed any of it.
Yeah.
And there, you know, there's obviously different types of games. There are some games that I've really liked on mobile that really do interesting things with the platform itself, but that haven't been really great games, you know, like traditional, you know, like narrative storyline games. And this really isn't that kind of game either, but...
No, it's actually the thought they put into this game is kind of cool, because obviously you want to get your population up so you have more dwellers to do more things and stuff like that. And one of the ways you could do that, and they award you prizes based on your ability to do this, is you have living quarters. You put one male dweller and one female dweller in the living quarters, and they kind of start to throw some cheesy pickup lines at one another, and then they kind of do a little dance, and then you get this little guy that shows up on the screen and gives you the thumbs up, and then all of a sudden you see them, like, race into the back room or whatever. And then the chick comes out all knocked up. And it's funny, because they won't fuck if they're related. Like, really? If you put them in there, like, they're actually being like, yeah, there's nothing like spending time with family, and kind of doing this kind of thing, like, looking at your watch and tapping their foot, kind of, you know what I mean?
That's hilarious.
So, yeah, I've run into that situation. I'm like, because I'm trying to, like...
Like, it's the apocalypse, for Christ's sake. Who cares?
You have different stats on your dwellers, and so some dwellers are better at doing other things. And I read somewhere that dwellers that have, like stats, like, will produce a baby that has a strong stat of that particular one. And so I was like, I'm just looking at, I'm going to put these two in the room based on their stats. And, like, it turns out they're, like, a father-daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's probably going to work. Yeah. But... but yeah, no, it's fun. And don't get me wrong, like, I'm not a creepy pervert. Like, the whole game isn't to make your dwellers fuck. It's just interesting how much thought that Bethesda put into that.
Yeah, this is interesting to me for two reasons, because you have a big studio who typically does these gigantic immersive games tackling mobile. As far as I know, this is Bethesda's first foray into mobile. And the other thing that's interesting to me is that it's very meant for the platform type of game. Like, I don't think I would want to play this game on an Xbox or maybe a PC if they scaled it way up. But
yeah, I'd play it on a PC.
But it is a game that works really, really well on mobile, which I like. So yeah. they could have easily, the easy one would be just go port one of their old games, like just go port one like Fallout 2, you know. And I'm sure you could run Fallout 3.
Fallout 1 and 2 were originally, like, they came out in, what, 97?
Yeah,
they somewhere were, on there. They were old school. Like, Windows top 95 down. And 98 shit.
But you could easily go do that if you wanted to. I mean, that's going to satisfy the cravings for the fanboys that really want some Fallout action while they get ready for Fallout 4. But I thought this was an interesting way to approach that problem for Bethesda. And sort of, you know, respect coming from all sides, respect the genre, respect the platform they're on, and so on. So, cool game. Check it out. I don't think it's... I think it's free, isn't it?
It is free on Android, anyway. I don't know about iOS.
Yeah, if it's not free, it's really, really cheap. Like, $1 or less. Like, or less than $3, I should say.
On the Android platform, it is considered a freemium app, meaning you can download the app free. There are ways to spend money within the app, should you choose to, which I haven't needed to thus far. So.
Every app is like that, and it's just the various levels of dickery you want to go to.
Yeah, Plants vs. Zombies 2. What a fucking crock.
There, it's so funny that this is a thing now, but like in the iOS App Store, at least, they have a section that they say pay once, play forever games, as in the game just costs.
Like, this is a new development.
Yeah, like, you just pay $3, and then we don't try to nickel and dime you for shit for the rest of forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'd rather do, to be honest.
Oh, I would rather do, too, but the thing is that, like, human psychology does not often make rational choices when it comes to money. Which, if you want to go read an interesting book on that, you could read Predictably Irrational by Dan O'Reilly, I think is the guy's name. I could be getting that wrong, but I'm pretty sure the book is titled Predictably Irrational, and goes on all the different ways that people are absolute idiots when it comes to money.
Yeah, I can see that. So you don't do much mobile gaming at all?
Not a whole lot. Actually, the most mobile gaming I've been doing right now lately, which is, you know, kind of cheating, is playing Game Boy Advance emulators, specifically Minish Cap.
So, gotcha. You should check out Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Really?
It's like a, you were talking about a Bejeweled knockoff. It's kind of like a Bejeweled thing. But you basically collect character cards, and your character cards give your character powers. You can collect up to 13, I think, and that allows you to max your character up to max level.
Oh, that's cool.
And each color tiles, like, your character is strong in three different colors, basically. And you have teams of three, generally. So you have three characters on your team. So you have, I don't know, it's fun. I play it a lot. It's also considered a quote-unquote freemium app. Never paid for a single goddamn thing. And I have a lot of really high-level characters and shit like that. Plus, it's cool if you link it to your Facebook account, which a lot of people aren't into. This is one of the few games I've seen, though, where it's actually kind of okay. Because if I win a cool prize, there's a random chance that I will actually win my prize, but also be able to give it to three of my Facebook friends that also play. Doesn't send out random invites to people that don't play. It's only sends out to people that do play.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I never link anything to Facebook.
If
there's any way to avoid linking to Facebook, I absolutely do.
I did because of this particular game's unobtrusiveness. And plus I get free shit from a couple of people that I know that play. So
cool.
Anyway, that's aside from Fallout Shelter, Marvel Puzzle Quest, my mobile game recommendation of the week. And with that being said, we have one last piece of business, and that is, you have heard us mention Smallville, and you've heard Eddie talk about how he never really finished it, which is still the case. But he did finish season 6. What'd you think, man?
So it's interesting because Smallville's been off the air for quite a while now, 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
Done in 2010. So I'm watching, you know, 2006, 2007 era Smallville. And it's interesting because you can see a lot of the ways that the CW has learned about, good things and bad things to do in superhero shows. And you can see a lot of similar things from, Smallville and Arrow and The Flash and stuff like that. So there are some definitely like cringy, stupid moments. Like, should I spoil? Yeah, I don't care. It's been
over for 5 years, dude.
It's been over for 5 years. And it's, if you really had a lot of interest in seeing it, that you're going to watch it anyway. So in the last episode, I just watched Lana's car gets blown up, and I was like, fucking finally. Like, I'm so sick of that whole, like, will they, won't they, like, story arc. Like, I'm pretty sure she leaves the series. I don't think it's right now, but I'm pretty sure she leaves the series at some point.
Yeah, you're not really... I'm not trying to turn you off. Like, you're not going to ever be, like, totally rid of her. I mean, she is gone for quite a while. Because we're in season six, just getting ready to start season seven. So Lois is full time now, right? Like she's in there all the time.
Lois has been full time, I think, for at least this season, if not last season as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You get a little bit of the will they, won't they with them as well. But not as much. You're
already starting to see that a little bit. I mean, they had the one episode I remember that they did that pretty hardcore is Clark gets a dose of Red K, which basically is just like it's like alcohol for Superman, except for without the physical downsides of losing control of your motor functions and so on, just inhibition limiter.
Yeah,
so,
he doesn't just go and fucking piss in a dumpster or whatever when he's on Red K. Although he could,
he could. I mean, he's fucking blow Superman. The dumpster right the hell off the street, but whatever. So he does. They do get a little bit of that. Where Lois gets fucked up from the Red K somehow too. That's not really explained in it. It doesn't really need to be. It's just kind of an interesting episode.
This is one of those things that happens.
Yeah, well, why does Red K affect Lois at all? Who the fuck knows?
For no particular reason.
Because this seems like it'd be a funny idea. And it was. I kind of like that episode. Kind of over the... that whole, Lana and Clark thing at this point, so...
Yeah, Lana got really tired.
Yeah.
I mean...
And she's also, of the characters that make ridiculously stupid decisions in the show, she's got to be, like, the poster child for it. She's this show's, who am I thinking of? I can't bring it. Never mind.
She's like Tori Spelling from Beverly Hills 90210.
She makes, like, just moronic decision after moronic decision, it seems like, so, yeah.
Yeah, like... liking Whitney in the first place.
Oh, yeah. Like,
which was her boyfriend from season one, by the way, if you haven't watched it. Yeah. No, man, season six, and I'm going to warn you right now, like, season six was pretty decent. Season seven, pretty decent. Season eight.
You told me season eight sucks.
Fucking terrible, man.
Yeah.
And I mean, not all of it's bad, but the parts that are bad are really fucking bad.
Yeah.
So just be prepared for that. But, So what else though? You tweeted the other day about was it the episode Justice?
Yeah,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's some of the funny things too. Like, product of its time a little bit, but the scene in particular, there's a little bit of a Justice League join up here, which features Aquaman, Cyborg, Green Arrow.
Flash,
as played by Bart Allen, actually,
or whichever name is on his
tag,
driver's license.
Yeah, he goes by Bart in this one.
He does, which I think is like a future.
Yeah, I don't remember.
In the comic book timeline, I think Bart Allen is a future character.
Yeah, Bart Allen. Like if you would have said the Flash, I would have expected we saw young Barry or young Wally. Wally would have made the most sense to me. But anyway, Bart Allen is who we see. So far as I know, anyway.
Well, I don't know how many, like, how recently you've watched some of the previous seasons, but the first time he encounters him, he's basically got a wallet full of ID cards that have a whole bunch of different names that are callbacks to, like, Barry Allen and Wally West and...
Oh, you know what? Shit, so. Yeah, that's, like, earlier, maybe season three or four.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's pretty early.
So, those guys all team up, and there's just the cheesiest fucking scene after they basically blow up a building of them walking away.
From the explosion.
Yeah. It's like the quintessential like cheesy 90s walk away from the explosion, like it's lampooned now, like it's a joke in lots of movies. But there was a movie I just saw recently that did that, like I want to say it was like 22 Jump Street or something like
probably
that. Yeah, like they're trying. How does anybody just walk away? That was loud as shit. Like my insides hurt. You know, like anyway, they're all superheroes, so you can suspend disbelief, but it still looks corny as fuck. So,
hey, speaking of some of the best movies ever made, 23 Jump Street is in the works.
Oh yeah,
never fear, you will see Jonah Hill again.
Yeah. I don't think we talked about it on this show, but I really like those movies.
I do too.
Yeah.
They're like a guilty pleasure. Like, I feel dumber every time I watch them, but I'm just like, this is so funny.
I do in the best I do in the best way, especially because when I first heard they were doing this, I was like, there's no fucking way I'm watching that. And then I watched it and I was like, oh.
I know.
That was awesome.
I know. Like, I felt so dirty the first time I watched it, and I was like, you know what? That was one of the funniest movies I've fucking seen in a long time.
It took, like, you know how sometimes your friends will, like, one of your friends will say, like, you should go see it. It's pretty good, or it's not bad, or something like that. Like, I usually just assume my friends are idiots. Like, some of my friends, like, really dumb shit, like, that I really legitimately have watched, and I'm never gonna like it, and never would have liked, and I don't know why you'd recommend this to me. Like, predictably, you know, when I posted some shit about Jupiter Ascending on the show, somebody else was like, oh, that was a good movie. And I was like, what fucking movie did you watch? Like, that's not even close to a good movie. But anyway, somebody, it took, you know, five or six people probably telling me, no, it's seriously pretty funny. Go watch it. You know, you'll see what I mean, type of thing before I actually watched the movie. But yeah, I liked it. And then of course by that time I saw 22, I think probably saw that in the theater with a wife at some point. So
yeah, no, those are definitely, definitely funny movies. Not in any way, shape, or form were they mentioned in the show notes, because I don't think we plan on talking about them.
Nah, but they probably won't go in the show notes. Easter egg. Yeah.
Yeah, so Smallville Season 6, overall, give it a grade.
I don't know. The whole series, I think, for me, has been... I really liked it originally in the first couple of seasons, then obviously I gave it up because I haven't actually watched it all. So I'm going to say C+.
Okay. My prediction for you? Season 7 is going to be a B. Straight B. Season 8, you're probably going to give a D+. Season 9, probably looking at more of a B, maybe B+. And then Season 10, I'm going to say you're going to give it a solid B, not because it's bad, but because there was a couple different directions that they could have gone, and there was a lot of different factors in play, depending on who agreed to do certain things to come back, that kind of made that season seem like a clusterfuck, even though everything they were doing was good. It just didn't all need to happen at one time.
Gotcha.
So those are my predictions.
We'll see. I'm gonna pick up, actually Matt's got season 7 DVDs for me that I'm gonna take home tonight and start on that, so obviously it's good enough that I'm still watching it. So
yeah.
Do
we have anything else? What do we talk about? Comic book recommendation. New Teen Titans. There's a collected works of the original New Teen Titans series. I think it collects the first, I don't remember how many issues. I'm gonna find a link for it though, and put it up there for you. Probably an Amazon link if you couldn't guess that already. But we're gonna do that. So go check that out too. It's a good read. It's gonna introduce characters like Cyborg and Starfire that are super important to Teen Titans continuity as we know it these days. And the original reason for their creation was actually because they did not want the Teen Titans to be a mini Justice League. They did not want them to necessarily all have analogs that were in the Justice League, so they created Cyborg and Starfire and a couple other characters specifically to break that mold and be autonomous.
So it wasn't all just like the sidekicks go play,
you know? Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay, so which I guess we probably at some point, I didn't get to read Batman Year 3 this week. I'm going to try to get that done sometime in the next week. We should probably talk about that at some point and try to go through the Teen Titans at some point, too.
I'll have to reread it. I think I was probably like 14 the last time I read it, so.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So that's true, everybody. As usual, you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/whatevery show. You can follow us on Twitter @whatevery show. Email your questions and comments and so on, questions@whatevery.co. We would love it, love, love, love it if you could go give us a rating on iTunes, please. You can rate us however you want. We would, of course, like more stars. More stars are generally better for the show. But even if you do hate us, you know, go give us something. We'd appreciate that. And then, you know, like I said, we're plugging shit on Amazon for you to make a little bit of money off the show. Like we said in previous episodes, we just need money for better equipment. So if you want to buy shit anyway,
we would be
buy
remiss.
Shit from our show page.
We would be remiss if we did not once again thank Dead Nexus for allowing us to use their music for our podcast. And also, they do have a CD that released last week.
Yeah.
So if you get a chance, if you like the music from our show, go buy it, man. Show some guys some love. I don't think probably have it for sale on Amazon. But if you're listening to the show right
we'll
now,
talk them into it. Hey, you got to sell your CD on Amazon. Why? What's it? Because you just need to.
Yeah.
Just do it. Yeah.
Right now, if you're listening to the show, you're probably relatively local. Maybe not, but,
yeah.
But if you are, they're a local band from Oregon, or as we call it here, just Oregon.
Oregon. Yeah.
Look them up. Find it. Facebook. Dead Nexus. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Have a good week.
All right. Later, guys.